राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन छारी यमुना तीरा वन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय A reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 39. Shraddha vallabhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriya jnanam labdva param shantim achirena digi Digachati. This translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yeah. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Purport. Such knowledge in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by a faithful person who believes firmly in Krishna. One is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness he can attain the highest perfection. This faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Over and above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. Om Agyanta Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatan Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees. May our words be aligned with Guru Parampara. May they bring pleasure to Shishi Radhe Shyam. And may all the devotees be benefited by hearing Bhagavad Gita together. Hare Krishna. So this is a verse from the fourth chapter, which is called Transcendental Knowledge, Jnana Yoga, is the Sanskrit for this chapter. Text 39, I'll just read it again. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. So the first word here in the verse, Shraddha, Shraddhavan, one who possesses faith. Our faith is the ground of our life. You know, it's what we truly and ultimately trust in. That's what your faith is. What do you truly and ultimately trust in? We can say with our words what we trust in, but really it's revealed by our day-to-day consciousness, our day-to-day living, our day-to-day actions. That's when you can really see what a person actually truly believes in. And some people think there's a dichotomy between faith and reason. Right? We hear this sometimes. You people just have faith in God. But I use the powers of my reasoning, and I use the powers of logic and my perception, and that's what I go by. But Krishna teaches in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that this supposed dichotomy between faith and reason is actually an illusion. He says, Sarvasya, everyone, Shraddha Mayo Yam Purusho. Everybody, every living being is made of faith. That's what the verse says in the 17th chapter. So it's not that one person has faith in religion and the other one is just using their reasoning and their intelligence. Everyone has faith. We're made of faith. So why are there so many differences in faith? This is also 17th chapter, text 3, where it's described. Where does our faith, our particular view of things come from? It says, Svabhavaja. Svabhavaja means it's born from your particular nature. And our nature comes from how we involve ourselves with the modes of material nature. So we get involved in the modes of material nature and we interact. And then from that comes a particular nature. And then from that comes a particular faith. So it's not so much that, you know, people think, well, I weigh the options in life, I see where I should put my faith, and I use my intelligence, and then I decide I'm going to have faith in this. It's not quite so simple and immediate. It's your nature that you've accumulated over time, and because of that, it gets inside of you, and then you see things in a certain way. You have a faith. So faith is actually, it's a non-rational commitment. It's not rational. It's your nature coming out of you because of what you've, because how you've associated with the modes of nature. So therefore, the real way to see faith, a particular inclination and faith has evolved in me over time because of my interaction and involvement in the modes of material nature. That's why Krishna, after that, he explains, now those who are predominantly in the mode of ignorance, they have a certain faith. Right? He said that in the mode of ignorance, if it predominates in your life, then there will be a corresponding worldview, there will be a corresponding faith that evolves. I'll read this verse from the Gita so we can hear it fully in Krishna's own words. 17:3. He says, O son of Bharata, according to one's existence, under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. So when the mode of ignorance predominates, then there's a corresponding faith. It's usually darker, a kind of darker faith, a darker worship that's even there. The Bhagavad Gita says one worships ghosts and other beings. We might think that's strange, but this still happens in the world. And in fact, sometimes, you know, who do we worship nowadays? Most people. It's not so much God, money, and also other people, if we consider people, right? Celebrities, musicians, sports, you know? You put the poster on your wall. When I was, as a little boy, I had all these posters, you know? Michael Jordan, Jerry Rice, all these different. It's like worship. It's the form. You see that. You aspire. But also in the mode of ignorance, who are those people that we worship? Well, it says we worship, one in the mode of ignorance worships ghosts. Now, if somebody commits suicide, it's said that they may become a ghost because of having misused the material form. The result of that is that you spend some time without a material form, but you still have desires, you still have tendencies and desires, but you can't fulfill them. So anyway, a lot of us, you know, growing up also, we were practically worship different celebrities. And people did things like this. You know who was, I remember Kurt Cobain, right? He committed suicide. Who else? Jim Morrison from The Doors. Well, he committed suicide. People worshipped. What is that? Who is that person now? Where are they now? Jimi Hendrix. You know, this is like the idol of so many people. And they got involved with, you know, a lot of them with drugs, heavy drugs, suicide. And so this is also, you know, so when we hear the worshiping of a ghost, it also can have this kind of form. It's not as crazy as we think when we hear this in Bhagavad Gita, who's worshiping ghosts? But there's a way in which we worship, you know, when there's certain persons heavy into drugs, into intoxication, suicide, all this is going on, and we give our attention to such persons. In the mode of passion, we worship wealth, power, people who have power, prestige, fame. And the mode of passion is characteristic of many desires. Why do we do that? Because we have our own strong desires. Therefore, we approach such people. And then those who have faith in the mode of goodness, it becomes a little more clean. There's morality. There's duty. Maybe the worship of God has a sense of duty. It feels like the right thing to do. Mode of goodness. They have goodness in the heart. So these three modes of nature, from our association, it evolves a particular faith. But all of this is within the jurisdiction of the material energy, Maya. It doesn't lead to transcendental goal. Therefore, Krishna says in the seventh chapter, this whole world, sarvamidam jagat, the whole world, because of these modes of nature, they do not know me. Because of the modes of nature, I'm not known. Mohitam nabi janati, he says. So the modes of nature, however we're involved, goodness, passion, or ignorance, they don't reveal God. They actually conceal God, according to him. Because of the modes, Krishna says, I'm not known by anyone. So then what do? Here we are in the modes of nature. That's all we have, seem to have access to. And it gets inside of us and involves a particular faith. But there's another kind of faith that exists outside of the modes of nature. And if we're interested in that, if we have this question in our heart, what is at the foundation of this existence? What is at the foundation of my existence? What is the real truth? If we're persistently interested in that, then we are indeed very fortunate. Because this other faith, there's a term for it. It's called nirguna shraddha. So the same word, shraddha, faith. Nirguna means not of the modes. It's a faith that is not of this world, and it's carried in the heart of a pure devotee. The pure devotee has this faith. The faith is nothing of this world. They're walking around with it. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't even think about it in ordinary thinking. Why is it like that? Because actually, when we really want to know the truth, and we want to know God, if God exists, and want to have a relationship with God, and we want to love God, this particular faith we can't produce ourselves. So it's kind of humbling, because we want something, but I can do nothing about it. So all I can do is yearn for it. All I can do is search, even though I can't achieve it, or I can't awaken it within myself. But I want it, and I'm interested in it. And when that's going on in the heart of a person, then they're becoming very ripe for what? To come in contact with a person who has actually what we're looking for. So therefore, God responds when that sincere desire is there in the heart. How does he respond? Brahmanda, Brahmitekon, Bhagyavanjeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. This is how God responds. When he sees if there's some longing, some sincerity, then he arranges. Once we've wandered for a long time in the material world, and we realize we're empty-handed after everything we've tried, it's not working. But yet we still have this desire. Wandering. And then at that moment, Krishna in the heart, he sends the spiritual master outside of us. And then by relationship with the spiritual master, Krishna is revealed. That's the process. So we're dependent. This is humbling. I can't do anything about it, so I'm dependent. I need the mercy of a devotee, of one who actually has a relationship with Krishna. And that person activates that true faith that's actually in the heart, that true connection. We have the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotion is actually in the heart already, but it's dormant. When a person longs for God, it's maybe like a little vibration of that seed little vibration, little activity, but nothing can really activate it until the pure devotee comes, and by the connection there, then it's activated and it begins to grow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the very beginning, he gives the name Komala Shraddha, which is very tender faith. It's weak in the beginning. It's very tender. Sometimes people argue against bhakti or devotional principles or spiritual knowledge, and we can get swayed by that in the beginning. We get swayed by arguments. But really, arguments are all mostly on the intellectual platform. You know, it's just kind of like a intellectual game of back and forth and logic. Logic doesn't reveal truth. It just is meant to be a tool. You use logic like a tool. It doesn't reveal anything, actually. It doesn't reveal a conclusion. It doesn't give you an experience of the truth. It's just used in a certain way like a tool. And arguments, the same. So that sometimes tests us in the beginning when the faith is weak, different arguments. But maybe that's not a big issue for us. But we can be tested by other things. Our faith can be tested by other things, like when something terrible happens in the world. You know, some disaster takes place. That can test our faith. Some war breaks out. How is God allowing for this? You see something awful, something horrible in the world. But that too, we should realize the nature of this world. Krishna is also clear about that. There are so many sufferings. We have to kind of expect that and not be swayed and not get disturbed in our faith when we see something terrible happening in the world, because that's the very nature of this material world. So that's another thing that comes that tests that soft faith. And then sometimes internally in the society of devotees, this is another test, where devotees that we may know and love fall away from the path. And then we think, well, what's going on? These people are, you know, we're trying together and still this person has given up or something has happened. There's some fall down. That's like a test internally within the society of devotees. That should also be expected. You know, that should also be expected. That will happen. Therefore, this verse, after Shraddhavan, one who possesses faith, it also says one should be dedicated to that faith and dedicated to transcendental knowledge. This is also something that's necessary. So first of all, it's mentioned faith. And then dedication has to also be there. Right? A dedication. Because that faith can get disrupted by so many things, but we kind of have to hold on a little bit. Like I was mentioning, when things happen wrong, even amongst devotees, that can be a hard thing to overcome. You know, today is Easter. So also, in the story of Jesus, he had followers. He had very devout followers in the very beginning. But you saw that when things started to go wrong, you know, suddenly this person that they were seeing as sent from God was captured. And then those group of disciples, they started to kind of break up. One of them committed suicide, Judas. And then the person who you were just worshiping practically and hearing from so often, he was put to death. So then it's described, Peter was one of his most strongest followers and most dedicated, but at that time, one follower committed suicide. The group was breaking up, a small group of disciples. And now their Lord and Master, their Guru, also now was gone. And so Peter was totally depressed and he was questioning everything. Is this all true? Was this true? This person I looked up to now is gone. It's over. It's all over. And he doubted. And somebody came up to him and said, hey, weren't you one of those followers of Jesus? Weren't you also one of... They surrounded him because they were thinking, you know, Jesus was also some heretic. Weren't you also a follower? Weren't you with him? And he just put his head down and said, no, I did not know the man. You know, he denied. And then someone else came up to him and the same thing. Wait, you were with Jesus, no? He said, no, I did not know the man. And he put his head down and walked away. And he denied because he lost it. He lost it. It was some conviction, some experience, but something happened in life and doubts came. He was seeing things externally. Oh, he's died. He's been killed. He couldn't have been sent by God. He's been killed. This is external vision. We have to find that faith very deep within our heart and know that no matter what happens externally in the world, even what happens in the society of devotees, why does that interfere with my desire for Krishna? I still want Krishna. I still want to know. I still want to follow this process because I want to have the experience of Krishna. I want that experience. If that desire is actually there, then even if all the support goes away, of course we need the association of devotees, so there's no question of being alone on this process. But if certain support falls away, you know, we should still be alive spiritually. We should still remain dedicated. So the verse here doesn't just say have faith, have this dedicated faith. This is the example of dedicated faith. So many good examples we have. Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family in what is present day Bangladesh. And actually, you know, at that time it was a Hindu population but Muslim rulers. And Haridas Thakur was hated by both sides. He was born in a Muslim family, but he became a follower of Krishna. So the Muslims, this is like the greatest offense to the Muslims. He converted from Islam. And what they were thinking is that he's converted from Islam and now he's worshipping some Hindu god. So awful. And so they were against him. And the Hindus were also against him. Because he was born in a Muslim family, so they considered he's an outcast. He's trying to chant and he's doing these strange things of dancing and chanting, and you know, Orthodox Hindus, they were also thinking he's not even Hindu, he's not born, he's unclean. So from both sides, everybody was against him. And they made up lies against him. They tried to take down even his reputation, everything like that. They were trying to make up lies. Ramchandra Khan, one of the leaders at that time. They were even sending him temptations to make him fall down so that they can shame him. But nothing could sway Haridas Thakur. And one time that Qazi, he went to his superior, the governor, also Muslim, and he told him that Haridas Thakur, we have to stop him because he's having an influence. And even other Muslims are starting to wonder what he's doing, and they seem to be influenced, and so we have to put a stop to him. So they actually put him in jail for some time. They went and got him, they put him in jail. And there were some Hindu Brahmanas in that jail. I guess they were thrown in there for this or that reason, I don't know. I don't think it says, but there were some Hindu Brahmanas in this jail. And they heard Haridas Thakur would be coming to join them. So they asked the jail keepers, can you allow us to come outside to see him when he comes? We just want to see him, because they knew who he was and they were inspired by him. Somehow they allowed it. So those prisoners were standing outside when Haridas Thakur came, and they saw him, effulgent, beautiful, and they all bowed down and offered their obeisances. And with folded palms, they just said, please bless us. Give us your blessings. And Haridas Thakur said, I give you a blessing. And this blessing very much bewildered them. Because he said, may all of you remain just as you are right now. They're all in prison. So they're thinking, what kind of blessing is this? Is this a blessing or is this a curse? That we stay here in this position. And Haridas Thakur noticed that they were a little disappointed. And he said, don't misunderstand. What I mean is, your hands are folded. You're bowing down. Your heart is melting. Affection for the Vaishnavas. May you remain just like that always. You will be out soon, don't worry. You'll be out soon. But may you remain just like that always. So he transformed those inmates while he was there. So they took him out of jail. And so the Qazi again, they took him directly before, the Qazi took him, Haridas Thakur, before his superior, the governor. And when the governor saw Haridas Thakur, he was amazed because he also could recognize there's something special. He saw an effulgence, he saw a beauty. Haridas Thakur is said to be very beautiful. And so the governor saw him and was amazed, and he said he had a little affection for Haridas Thakur, the governor, because he was maybe had some qualities. He could recognize saintliness. And he said, look, we don't want to create any more harm for you. We just need you. You were born into this illustrious Muslim family. You have to be a Muslim again. Why did you convert? It's bewildering people. So just give it up and come back to being a Muslim. And you come back to Allah. And so Haridas Thakur, his response, he just laughed. And they were very confused. He laughed. And then he spoke. He offered his obeisances to Maya Devi, Haridas Thakur. He said, just see the power of your deluding energy. That this man, these men are thinking that God in Islam is a different God than my God. Just see, they can't see that there's one God of all the religions, the Supreme Lord. So they're saying, give up Krishna, come to Allah. And he laughed at that, thinking their Maya is totally captured them. They can't see that God is one. And he gave an example, just like the sun and the sky is one. We give different names in different parts of the world. People call it this, call it that. The name may change. But it's that same one sun that's the light of all living beings. The light and the warmth of all living beings. So, the Qazi told the governor, you see, he's completely crazy. But the governor was actually a little bit pleased by this, it says. He was pleased. And he said, okay, you don't have to come back to being a Muslim. You can follow Krishna, but at least you have to promise one thing, you stop preaching. That's it, we'll let you live. Worship Krishna, that's fine, but don't, you cannot preach anymore. And Haridas Thakur, what was his response? He said, even if you cut my body into a million pieces, and even if I give up my body, I'll never stop chanting the glories of the holy name of Krishna. So I cannot even honor that request. So do with me what you like. I consider it all the mercy of the Lord. You can do anything with me. So again, the Qazi told the governor, you see, there's nothing we can do with him. So the governor said, what should we do? And the Qazi said, we should have him beaten in public. Just imagine, this is horrific. It's described when Haridas Thakur was walking to the marketplace. Some of the brahmanas who were there, they were crying. And they were saying, take us instead. Take us. Beat us. Let this man live. And others were saying, yes, let him be beaten. He deserves it. He's corrupting so many people. He's making up some kind of weird process and dancing all around. But Haridas Thakur just continued to walk, no protest. And we know the story. But this is an example of so many trials, but nothing could sway him, nothing could change his faith. You know, it's said that Haridas Thakur, he's the personification of the third verse of Shikshastakam. Trinadapi Sunichena Tadoriva Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari. You can only chant Sada always when you have these qualities. You're humble like a blade of grass. You're more tolerant than a tree. You offer all respects to others and you expect nothing for yourself. If you have those qualities, then only can you Kirtaniya Sadahari, chant kirtan always. Haridas Thakur was chanting always. He personified this verse. So, Haridas Thakur is this perfect example, this pure faith that was unchanging in all circumstances. So there's one more point in this verse. Because this verse, these verses, we should see them like formulas. It's not just, you just read it quickly and it's nice and you go to the next verse. It's the formula. Think about how much is in this verse. You have to have faith. You have to be dedicated to that faith. You have to be dedicated to transcendental knowledge. And then what's the fourth item here in this verse? Samya tetriya. Triyaha. The senses have to also be controlled. So you may have faith, you may be dedicated, but this is also part of the formula. Controlling the senses. The senses have to become more still, right? The senses are always calling out for some kind of satisfaction. And if we always surrender to that, we feed the senses and the senses get a certain strength. They stay alive. Their desires stay alive. You know, when you feed somebody, they stay alive. So the senses are they want some pleasure. They're calling for something. And sometimes very quickly we just, yes, get what you want. If you try to resist a little bit, what happens? If you tried to hold out just a little bit, right? Just suppose you sit down to chant, or you're just trying to just be more still and calm. You sit down. Very quickly, the senses want something. And the senses conspire with the mind. And then it's like double force. Then the mind starts to get busy. Yes, you need this thing. Get up now. Put down the beats, get up now, and just do what you gotta do. Do what you really love to do. Do what you really like. And we'll fail. We'll do that sometimes. And then we come back and try again. Now, let me try this next time to hold that a little bit longer. So the senses, they want something. They start getting they're screaming for something. And then they have other tactics. If they're screaming at you and somehow you resist, no, I'm just going to sit down, chant, and hear the name. So they have different techniques. So after the screaming, there may be bargaining. Okay, chant a couple more rounds and then give me what I want. Then I'll allow it. So we work out in the mind. The mind is doing all this. Just after you're done, then you can, then you'll be able to enjoy however you like. You can eat a carton of ice cream right after chanting, whatever it may be. So we may fail again. And then so what should we do? Well, we just admit, yeah, I failed, now let me return again. Let me try again. Next day we have opportunities. Let me try holding out again. Let me see what's beyond that, the bargaining. Let me see what happens after I can get through the bargaining. You become very still. The bargaining, you endure, you're still chanting. Then what comes next? This is a very hard one. Then sometimes a depression, a kind of emptiness. You just feel empty. There's no taste. And I gotta satisfy my senses because if there's just nothing at this point. I feel so dry and empty and I feel low. And what should we do with that? Then we may fail. And again, satisfy the senses, satisfy the mind. What's our hope in all this? There's one verse I wanted to read from the 11th canto. Expect this. We should expect this. But there's one verse that gives a little hope, because even with the failures, it gives us an attitude that we should have, even when failing. This is 11th canto, chapter 20, text 27. And it gives the attitude of this, all this struggle that we all go through. It says, Veda dukat makam kaman. This is the first part. Krishna speaking. He says, my devotee knows that acting selfishly He knows this, or she knows this, that acting selfishly or just staying in the center of things leads to unhappiness. They know that. Parityage pyanishvara, but they're still unable to give it up. They know this is not good for me, but they still can't give it up, my devotee. So then what should they do? They know it's not the best. They know staying in the center like that only prolongs our suffering. But yet we can't give it up. So what should we do? Then he says, Tato bhajate mam prita. They should just continue to worship me and be happy. That's strange, right? I'm failing. Isn't Krishna disappointed? Should I just feel awful myself? But in this verse, Krishna says, they know they can't overcome it, they fail, but just continue to worship me and be happy in my service. So if I just perpetually endure, if I just endure, patiently endure, even through when the mind is screaming, I'll fail sometimes and I'll have to react, respond to that. But let me try again. Let me make an experiment, chanting. Make this experiment. Sit down and chant, and whatever comes up, stay. And just keep returning to the sound of Krishna's name. And be patient and just endure. Because what's beyond that depression? What's beyond the screaming anger? What's beyond the bargaining? What's beyond the depression? This verse also explains that. It says, Achirena. Achirena means soon. It's coming soon. Something's coming soon. What's coming soon? Param Shantim, the supreme peace that we all long for. That's coming soon if we can endure. If we can endure through all of these things. That's what's coming, the supreme peace. Isn't that what we all, it's really what, it's the deepest desire in the heart of every living being. But it requires something. It requires faith, dedication, knowledge, and also this, controlling of the senses. And when the senses, we will fail, just know that. We will fail with the mind. But stay, I remain happy in the service of the Lord, I remain grateful, and I go again. And I go again. And I endure. I endure. Tadordi vasahishnuna. One should be forbearing like a tree. Forbearing through everything. And then what's coming is this last two words in this verse. Param Shantim, the supreme spiritual peace will come upon us. So this peace is also talked about in the Bible. It's known as the peace that surpasses all understanding. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, like I was mentioning, today is also Easter. So we know this is also a glorification. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. This is not just meant to be applauded. Like, you know, we come and celebrate. Jesus lived, and then he had to die. He went through many trials, and then he was again, he came, he rose from the dead. We just hear that and think, so wonderful. We celebrate that, but we don't realize, often many people don't realize, we're actually meant to go through that exact same process. It doesn't have the same form for me. But the same steps have to be taken by each of us. The same exact steps are always the same in every spiritual tradition. You know, what is it? It said when Jesus was young, he was growing in wisdom and growing in the favor of the Lord. And then he took this role as guru. He was instructing, he was preaching, he was giving, he was sacrificing. We also have to grow in wisdom. We have to grow in the mercy of the Lord, the favor of the Lord. We also have to give. We have to preach too. And again, don't think preaching is one way. There's so many ways. We just have to have the mindset, I have to give this now. How that happens, I have to see. I have to understand what that means for me, but that spirit of giving must be there. And then finally, Jesus went through great trials. We'll also have to go through trials. And he persisted through those trials. And then he died. We also have to die. I'm not talking about just this physical body that dies. Everyone has to go through that. But a certain death of the false ego. And when that death takes place, what follows that? the resurrection. We're born as a new person. You know, there's a time when the person, when the devotee who's sadhana, who's practicing sadhana, becomes a pure devotee. Well, Prabhupada said there are many tests in spiritual life, and then there's one big test, and then no more tests. So there is a time where you overcome that struggle. So, you know, on this day, Haridas Thakur, Jesus, all these great saintly personalities, if you look closely at their life, it's always the same stages. We should not just applaud those people. Great, so wonderful, celebrate them. But we have to see, that's an example. That's my life. How is that? What am I doing? The trials will come. How do I face them? Sense control. Transcendental knowledge must be developed. Association with devotees, giving. Everything is in this verse. See how much is in this verse. It's all there in one verse from the fourth chapter. We can quickly bypass it, and it has everything. And if you can endure through all this, padam shantim, then that supreme peace will be yours. So, just to end, I also want to mention, and then if there's any discussion or comments, we can go for a few minutes, but thinking of Haridas Thakur, when he was nearing the end of life, Govinda, servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to see him one day, and he brought him some prasad, and he saw that Haridas Thakur was on his back, lying on his back, and he was chanting very slowly. So Govinda became concerned. So he went back and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, maybe Haridas Thakur, he doesn't look well. So the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see Haridas Thakur. And he said, Haridas, are you well? And Haridas Thakur said, my body is fine. My body's fine. But my mind, there is some problem with my mind because I cannot finish my prescribed number of rounds. And actually, it's interesting what he said because it's the exact opposite. Out of humility, he said the exact opposite of the truth. Actually, his mind was fine because his mind is always at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. But his body was dying. So it was the opposite. He said, body's fine, no problem with the body. But my mind, because my chanting is not so good right now, it's lots of problems. Actually, the mind was fine and the body was dying. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, Haridas, you are already a pure devotee. You're already liberated. You can reduce your chanting now. And Haridas Thakur said, actually, Lord, my plea is this. This is my plea to you. That I know that soon you will be leaving this world. I don't want to see that. And I'm very close to the end myself. So I simply want you to be in front of me. And I want to drop my body at your lotus feet. Just seeing your face. This is my request. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And he returned the next day. Lord Chaitanya came with all his devotees, all the associates. And they came all to see Haridas Thakur. And they were all chanting together. And Lord Chaitanya himself began praising Haridas Thakur. It was just melting. Imagine when Lord Chaitanya is going to praise somebody, when he gives everything to praising a devotee. Everybody's heart was just melting. And the kirtan was just roaring. And Haridas Thakur requested the Lord, come before me now. And Lord Chaitanya came before him. And he just fixed his eyes on the form of Lord Chaitanya. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that just by appreciating the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then all your sins will be removed. So he just was fixed on Lord Chaitanya, on the beautiful form. And he gave up his body. And Lord Chaitanya picked him up and put him on his lap. And Lord Chaitanya himself, along with all the devotees, they carried him to the sea, the Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya was doing particular rituals and digging in the sand They placed the body of Haridas Thakur there. The kirtan was just becoming ecstatic. I remember I had the good fortune of being in Giranagari when His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami passed away. I was there for several weeks with Radhana Swami, and it just gives me a little taste of what this must have been like, because when I walked into that temple room, Bhakti Tirtha Swami was beginning class. He was chanting Jaya Radha Madhava, and I just walked in, and the devotees were just, they were practically already in tears. He's close to passing away, and he's singing, and he's crying, and the energy was so, the atmosphere was so thick with devotion. And the drums, it was like this loud, ecstatic kirtan. It was just Jaya Radha Madhava, but everyone was like lifted up. And then Bhakti Tirtha Swami said, he just stopped in the middle of Jaya Radha Madhava. He said, "Take me over to Srila Prabhupada." And he couldn't get up himself because of tumors all over his body. He had very advanced cancer. And two big guys just came on his left and right, and they just picked him up. And they brought him over to they brought him over to Prabhupada's murti. And he just put his head crying. Everybody's crying. And the kirtan just took off. Forget the class. It just became a roaring kirtan. Everyone's in tears. People were like falling over. I felt dizzy. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew it was unbelievable and so beautiful. So something like that, Haridas Thakur, his passing, and all the devotees are there, and Lord Chaitanya, afterwards, he sent his devotees to the markets along Jagannath Puri near the temple. He said, "You beg now something from every shopkeeper. We'll have prasad now in honor of Haridas Thakur. Go ask everybody to give something." And all the shopkeepers very gladly gave everything. "Take more, take more. Haridas Thakur has passed. We should honor this." And then all the devotees lined up for prasadam. Lord Chaitanya himself again personally went around, distributed the prasadam. But nobody ate. They waited for him to sit down. He sat down. They all ate together. And then Lord Chaitanya got up and declared, "Anyone who is part of this festival of honoring Haridas Thakur, if you've participated in it in any way, then very soon you will attain the divine mercy of Sri Krishna." And Krishnadas Kaviraj, also this is described, that anyone who hears this story gets that same boon. Just by hearing this story and appreciating, Lord Chaitanya declares that very soon the favor of Krishna will be upon you, his divine mercy. And he also said, just like this verse says, very soon it's coming, this supreme peace, very soon, if you can endure. So Lord Chaitanya, even greater than peace, we know, is the melting of the heart and bhakti, and love of God. So, we'll stop here. This is a beautiful verse, 4th chapter, 39th verse, and as we can see, so much is there. So take our time with reading the verses of the Gita, meditate, and try in your own way to apply it. Endure through the trials that may come up. Stay content in your heart. We're still blessed. We're blessed. Look where we are. Look what we're doing. And you continue on, and very soon we'll also taste this peace and also this love of God. So thank you so much for your listening and participating. And anyone have any thoughts, comments, questions you'd like to? We have a microphone coming.
Thank you so much for the beautiful class, and thank you for dissecting the verse in such a way. And really,
I'm not sure if the microphone is on. A little difficult to hear. It's on. Okay.
Thank you so much for a beautiful class, and thank you for dissecting the verse and really bringing out the part. I think you said Sada, that you know, even as people fail or, you know, are experiencing difficulty, they're But it says remain happy.
Yeah.
And just continue, because guilt plays such a big part.
Yeah.
In failure, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of is another obstacle there. So that is really very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you for highlighting that. Hare Krishna. Yeah, remain happy and just continue, and we will fail. And just return again, and it will be. It's a process. Yes.
Thank you very much for the class. And when you were talking about that scene of trying to sit down and chant, and then there's the disturbance and wanting to get up and satisfy desires and senses, and then the depression, and I was thinking, kind of even what's beyond that also could be, okay, well, if I want to go enjoy something, let me at least try and take this desire and add Krishna.
Yeah.
So I might want to enjoy, I don't know, this carton of ice cream, but any prasadam or anything like that, and just include Krishna in that desire.
Yeah.
Because trying to extinguish desires is not quite our path. And to hold out, to wait for the peace to come. And there's a space for that too. Just also feeling like I can feel that peace when I include Krishna with my desires, and feeling like they can be purified if I engage them in Krishna's service.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great point. These desires can be linked to the Lord. So it's not just the whole process for us is not just let it die, let it die, let it die, but let me connect it also to the Lord. And, you know, we connect it to the Lord, and there'll still be times where we have to endure. You know, we have to endure taking it for myself. Let me somehow find a way to connect it. And in this way, gradually, we can overcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, sorry.
Sometimes you give like a tilt to the mic, almost like it's facing directly
right. Your
face. Right, right. That helps.
Okay, so Sukada mentioned the guilt part, which is doesn't do anything, it holds you back. But what is the balance between remorse and guilt? Like, guilt is bad, but you have to have some remorse if you're...
Yeah. Yeah, the difference between guilt and remorse. Guilt is like a game that we play with ourselves. I'm so bad, I'm awful, now I'm losing. It's like it's something we're doing to ourselves. You know, we're kind of, we get devastated by what we are. Remorse is more clean, because it realizes that, well, I am fallen. I am fallen. There will be times that I struggle. But let me again pick myself up and continue on, as we were saying with this verse from the 11th canto. And continue on. The only way to know the difference, we have to feel the difference within ourselves. Guilt gets very heavy. I actually lose enthusiasm. I lose enthusiasm. But there's a kind of remorse where you just acknowledge. It's like being very realistic about it. I have some habits. I have some qualities that keep me down. I also have some good habits that connect me to the Lord. I've also been blessed. I'm in the association of devotees. So we kind of pick ourselves up and let me go at it again. And let me know that I can't do it on my own. I can't overcome on my own. So with that feeling of lamentation, therefore, Lord, I put myself in this situation and I can't save myself. So with that lamentation, I turn to you, please, only by your mercy. You see, that's the lamentation. But not the lamentation just in my own head with my own problems, getting stuck there. It's like I said, it's a game we play with ourselves, and it just brings us down. We lose energy, we lose enthusiasm. So we have to feel the difference within ourselves. If I start to feel really devastated, I'm actually becoming paralyzed in my spiritual life, the ego is involved. The ego is involved in that. And then we have to discover ourselves the specifics of that. What is this game I'm playing with myself? But if it starts to, we lift up a little bit and we acknowledge, we know it, we're realistic, and the lamentation is brought to the Lord, please, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patita Mam Vishame Bhavam Budo. Prabhupada said, this is our prayer. He said, the Christians have their prayer. This is our prayer. And he quoted the sixth verse of Shikshastakam. Is that the fifth or sixth? Ayi nanda tuniju kinkaram. Fifth verse. Yes, fifth verse. So he quoted that verse and said, this is our prayer, that the Lord, somehow or other, I've fallen away from you. Please pick me up and place me at your lotus feet. You have to do it. I can't do it. You see, the guilt, see, this is why the guilt is ego. Because we think that I can do it on my own. And because I'm failing, then the guilt and the hurt is that I can't do it. I want to do it, but I can't. Therefore, it's like a damaged pride, because the pride is saying, you can do it yourself. But when I fail in that, then I feel awful, depressed, because it means I can't do it. But actually, we should think, I can't do it. Very good. I can't do it. That's the reality. So I try my best, and I completely surrender to the Lord. He will do it. He can do it. But the depression and the guilt, it's not surrendering in that way. It's just being frustrated with oneself that I can't achieve this on my own. So we examine in our heart, why this frustrated, why this depression, why? And we'll start to see that there's some ego behind it. And when we discover the ego, that the ego's behind it, then we start to lift a little bit off of it. It becomes a little less painful because now you see the game you're playing with yourself. It should be a matter of fact that, yes, I have these faults, I can't do it. Therefore, I need to surrender. That's the attitude. Yes, 11th canto, 20th chapter, text 27 and 28. And Krishna is speaking about his devotee, that they know what's best, they can't do it, still they should go on in a happy spirit. They're still my devotee and Krishna will take care. Oh, we have another.
I had two conflicting doubts, Prabhu. Thank you so much for your class.
Krishna.
And now I have three.
The doubts are increasing. So,
first I will ask, you said we have to be in the mood of that I cannot do it, Lord, you have to help me in doing this.
Yes.
So while we are chanting and our mind is wandering everywhere, so where does our effort comes? Like there is a thing that you have to make an effort and then Krishna will reciprocate.
Yeah.
So how to deal with that?
That's the part we do. We keep making the effort, we keep sincerely trying, but not thinking that one day I'm going to make it happen and that's it, you know. So there's a knowledge that's there. It's not going to come from my effort. It's going to come when Krishna becomes pleased with my effort, then he blesses that soul. So if you're not sincerely trying, the blessing doesn't come that way either. You know, it's like we have to give everything. We have to try everything. We have to be faithful no matter what's happening in our life and continue on. And then finally when Krishna sees that sincerity, then he's like the clincher, the clinch. The clinch is by Krishna. We make the effort and then finally you have it by Krishna's grace because he's pleased.
Okay, that is very clear now. And my other doubt was, I had two conflicting doubts, which was, I have heard in the lecture that Haridas Thakur is an expansion or an incarnation of Lord Brahma.
Yes.
So I was always thinking that when Haridas Thakur was chanting and he was a pure devotee, so he went back to Godhead. So who will be on the position of Brahma now? And I was also thinking that in the lectures I have heard that Lord Haridas Thakur is an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu. So he's always there. So he is the original personality. So who is that Haridas Thakur who is an expansion of Brahma? So if we can clear these two things.
I can't clear those doubts, I think. But my understanding is that, so Haridas Thakur, I'm trying to remember the first point you made. You know, in terms of the spiritual world and what's happening there, it is inconceivable for our minds to understand. You know, he's an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet for the earthly pastimes, there seemed to be this scenario. Lord Brahma, expanding from Lord Brahma, Haridas Thakur comes, has those experiences. So you also mentioned who became Brahma. you know, during that time. Just the next Parma. The next Parma, I don't know if it's mentioned anywhere, but there are other personalities, and sometimes even the Lord himself takes that position if needed. If there's no other personality qualified, then the Lord will expand and take the position of Lord Brahma. So it could have been another soul who was ready or qualified. It could have been the Lord himself. But in terms of the spiritual world, and you know, many things can happen simultaneously. That's all that can be said, really. It's a place, you know, Gaur Leela is happening, Krishna Leela simultaneous. Many things are possible there, so it's beyond my understanding, at least. Maybe some answers given by some acharya, but that's as far as I can go with that. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. So follow up on that same question. 11th canto, 28th verse, 11th canto, 28th chapter and 27th verse.
Yes.
So with the example of chanting, we are saying that, okay, we know that we cannot control the mind, we might fall down, which often happens, but then we are still striving to get the focus and try to do it.
Yes.
So what is the Lord saying here? I mean, with respect to chanting, it's okay, we are striving, but with respect to controlling the senses in other aspects, do you still allow them to fall down, but still just depend on the Lord, so saying that I cannot control? What is the message that Lord is saying?
We do whatever we can, but we should know that there will be failures, you know? So again, we make an effort everywhere. So it's not that, you know, but we know it's going to happen. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be times where we fail. So we keep ourselves in that light of Krishna consciousness. This is why Prabhupada, he'd like to quote this verse, and he put it as the motto to his Back to Godhead magazine. Krishna is light and Maya is darkness. Wherever there is light, whenever you're in the light, there is no darkness. So that means when we're hearing Bhagavatam, you're in the light. When you're hearing Bhagavad Gita, you're in the light. When we're chanting, we're in the light. There is no darkness. But the mind thinks, you know, again, the mind, we fall into the darkness of the mind, the darkness of the imagination. So the only thing to do is not fight in that darkness, but come back to the light. Okay, back to hearing the sound. As soon as I hear the sound, I'm in the light. As soon as I hear the sound of Krishna's name, you're actually in the light. Everything is going according to plan. Your mind tells you something different. Oh, you're struggling, that was awful, your rounds were awful. But even if a few times you heard the sound vibration of Krishna's name, you receive that light. We just need more and more and more of that light. So senses will struggle when chanting, senses will struggle outside of chanting, just throughout our life. Again, we try our best. We make the effort that we can. And try to endure a little bit. Push yourself a little further. Go through some of those stages where you struggle a little bit. Experiment. I like to take it as like an experiment sometimes. Like, wow, my mind is really screaming right now. Let me see what happens if I can get through this. What happens next? You know, we have to be a little, like, take this path as like an adventure sometimes too. Explore. Let me see what happens on the other side of this screaming mind. Oh, suddenly it's gone. I'm okay. You get a little faith. I'm okay. You know, if we just keep giving in immediately, we'll never taste it. We'll never know that. As soon as the mind wants something, if I surrender, I'll never know what's beyond that. I'll just keep doing it habitually. So we have to endure. We have to suffer a little bit. Suffer through that. At the same time making those efforts. So I hope that helps.
So you endure for that, but you still fall down. I mean,
yeah.
Still.
But and then endure
realize
again.
Realize that, okay, I'll do next time a little more. But yeah. I know that I might still fall down.
Yes.
So keep doing it.
Yeah, you keep enduring. We just have to, this is it, we're patiently waiting. We're patiently waiting and longing for the mercy of Krishna. Chataka bird, you know the Chataka bird is just waiting from one drop from that cloud. And sometimes the cloud doesn't rain, it just gives thunder. And then the Chataka bird just has to wait for the next time. It comes back again, waits, no drop, no water. Again and again, keeps returning. Chataka bird doesn't lose enthusiasm. As soon as it sees the dark cloud, Krishna's the dark cloud. As soon as he sees that dark cloud, he appears and he opens the mouth and he longs and he waits. That's all we can do, is long and wait. And while we're longing and waiting, we keep making efforts, we keep striving.
Thank you.
There you go. I think we should stop. Sorry for going over time. So, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Hare Krishna.